Welcome to Polycast, a civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mean Team.
Ed Jin.
A composite show, archive segments from previous episodes that got cut due to time. Episode 250 with Dan Q, Makalua, the Mean Team, Mad Jin, and CPM 4001.
How Bruce Shelley brought a board gamer's view into the designing Civ. We're talking the original one, you know, way back when.
Before some of the current players were born.
People, I was just starting to say that sentence.
Well, yeah, think about it.
Yep.
See, kids, back in the day, before there was Civilization V, there was Civilization IV. Civilization begat Civilization II, which began...
No, not at the beginning. It wasn't that long ago.
One of the legacies of Civilization seems to be that it created this group of designers who went off in different directions and created more games inspired by Civ. Age of Empires, Rise of Nations, yada, yada, yada. Billy, CERN hasn't given up on doing something along those lines. Brian's working on Domination. That was the answer to that question. Which I wasn't even sure was a question.
Bruce imagined a question and answered it.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe they did weird editing on the like right no question, like the actual question that the interview asked did actually make it to the website because whoever copied it over just forgot the question. But yeah, Bruce Shelley just like, I think you might be asking about what those two people are doing. So yeah, there. And then it continues on with yet another statement by the interviewer. It almost seems like the game industry and gamers are better off for it. Better off for what? For designers popping in through SID's companies? Plural.
Yes!
And then leaving to go do their own? Which I think may have been the question. It says, Shelley, it's a good point. I went to work with Zynga. Sorry, dude.
That was perfect.
Bonus XP. We build games in the same way. Apparently, this is the core of, if you came to work with Sid, you may have learned how to not be an idiot.
Oh, may not have. You may have learned how not to be an idiot.
Yeah.
So there's still the possibility you could emerge an idiot from the Sid Meier School.
True.
Ooh, sounds like a challenge.
Yeah. Basic concept. People came, they worked there, they learned, and then they expanded out into the other parts of the game universe. The general concept there is that Sid has a school.
Yeah.
Go learn from Sid. You might be better.
From the interview, otherwise, of what Madjin cited, you were prototyping way back then, so referring to the 80s and 90s at MicroProse. That was the main way of finding out if something was good? Question mark. I came from board games, and that's how we made board games. We'd have pencil and paper and cards and blackboards, and we'd try to break down the rules as we went along. That's what he was doing, essentially, said. I learned from that. There is no design document. There is no plan. Well, I assume the ultimate plan was to make money, but I, how to actually translate wanting to make money and actually making money with this game, that kind of went as they went along. I believe my favorite question to last. Gamesbeat also said, there are still these new generations encountering Civ for the first time, though. And once again, Shelley answering a Don question.
And dear.
I don't know if they have any metrics on that. How many of these people are new? I wanted to bring this up. And bringing this up is referring to the DICE 2016 panel and 25th anniversary that we talked about last episode. Civ 5 sold 8 million copies versus 1.5 for the original Civ. They get a lot of mail from people who've been playing Civilization for a long time. They're fans. They're proactive. They have a lot of ideas. They're all waiting for Civ 6. I assume that it's in the works, although I don't know for sure.
Yeah. Hashtag, I don't technically work there, so I can't tell you.
Gamesbeat, are there certain kinds of games you want to keep making? Answer, I don't have a lot of ambition anymore. I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and I thought, I've gotten to make most of the games I ever wanted to make. I'm not sure I feel completely comfortable with some of the new things that are happening. I'm not really happy with the monetization and free-to-play games. It just doesn't feel right to me. I'd rather pay $5 up front and buy a game.
Yay!
Yay to that. He says, I've gotten to make most of the games I ever wanted to. I think I know what he's talking about. He wants to help Sid go back to the dinosaur game and make that a reality. Mm-hmm. Yep. Fact.
Dan is obsessed with this game.
I read between the lines, and I'm happy for myself. I pat myself on the back.
Okay.
It's more that, you know, he's done a lot, and he's had fun doing a lot.
Then an interview with Sid, the man who made a million empires, and what I really liked about this was actually the image someone took the time to do in the style of a Civ 5 leader head. El Cid of the Mire, Lord of Firaxis. Stacking eliminated, weird diplomacy, and my favorite, his unique ability, just one more turn. Infinitely lost sleep for the conquered millions. Mm-hmm. It's by Colin Campbell, Polygon. Part of the recurring theme from the beginning to the end is about Sid's name appearing on Civilization and the subsequent titles. He's actually specifically asked because Sid's former business partner in MicroProse, Bill Spilley, tells the story that it was at a dinner function and the late Robin Williams suggested putting Sid's name on the game. Colin actually asked Sid, is this what happened? Sid's response, I don't remember it that way, but I'm not saying it couldn't have happened.
I'm not saying it didn't.
Over the years, Mariner's designers have toiled to simplify their user interfaces and to render complicated like ideas like culture and religion, I enjoy how they're in quotation marks, into gameplay devices that make sense. It's no small undertaking, but the quasi-human opponents that players face have never seemed anything other than bots, lacking complexity or subtlety. It's a tough problem. It's a difficult problem, says Meyer. A certain part of you expects an AI to act like a rational player. Another part of you expects the AI to make your game as fun as possible. Those are competing objectives sometimes. How do you resolve the conflict? Ooh, I know. Play multiplayer. Wait, that's circumventing the issue. Okay. We understand why food leads to people. Well, there's some other things that lead to people, if you know what I'm saying.
It's not very effective without food.
No.
We understand why resources lead to units. You are constructing a phalanx. Sure, I am.
You are chopping out a spaceship part. What?
We understand why science leads to technology, but we really don't understand how people work, how to program that. The mass of people. It's a rough approximation. It's one of the areas that has evolved, but there's still room for growth there.
It's true, though. He goes on to say, like, you spend 90% of the time managing civilization and 10% on the diplo, and you don't want that 10% to be more important to the outcome than the 90% of the time you spend managing your empire. But in most of my Civ experience, that 10-90 split is nowhere near 10-90 when it comes to your chances of winning the game. I think Civ 5 is actually a little more forgiving on bad diplomacy than Civ 4 was. At least unless you're, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could just become a world-mongering menace to the world super early or something stupid. But for the most part, you don't get spammed as hard. So it's possible to win with poor diplomacy. But it's still extremely powerful to, like, manage your resources, in both in terms of resource sale and just getting AIs to declare on each other and taking advantage of the chaos. In terms of the amount of time it takes to conquer somebody or the amount of resources you invest in units to conquer somebody, diplomacy really is still an overwhelming factor in the game, and I don't think you can get away from that.
Yeah. I read this next paragraph as Sid eschewing the four-city-tall approach.
I hope so.
Approach.
Screw four-city-tall.
Basically, his way of saying bigger is better, and if you don't like it, well, too bad. It depends on how you define winning when he's talking about is it difficult to win the game with a peaceful Civ who's wholly dedicated to culture or science. Could be argued that there are no real-world Civs featured in the game that eschew military might, but still this is experience of sanity. Depends on how you define winning. You're welcome to define winning any way you want. If you can survive with just four cities, you can say, I declare victory. But what the game defines as winning may not match your playstyle exactly. That's not easy. A game like Civilization, you're going to expect progress, growth, building, hugeness. Being better, that will be rewarded, but you're welcome to define your own win. In other words, if Civ 6 gets rid of the whole tall versus wide crap,
yeah,
I'd be happy. Back to the 4Xs, back to reality, bigger is better, you don't like it, too bad.
I think Civ 4 is our closest model in that regard so far of ideal, but I think you could do better than Civ 4.
Yeah, and of course, bigger is better is a definition that has some leeway in there. A very tall city should be better than a bunch of ICS crap. It should be. I mean, that's reality.
Could grow to support more wide, get taller cities that allow you to pay the upkeeps.
Yeah. But you shouldn't be a city-state either.
No.
No city-state has conquered the world. Ever.
Just pointing out, in Civ 4, it was possible to win culture on deity with three cities only.
Well, that was kind of part of the definition of the things, too, wasn't it? Part of the culture victory was the top three cities.
You needed three cities on standard speed 50,000 culture. But it was widely regarded that it was better to have six or nine so you could have some more multipliers. But I did a few runs on Deity where I won with just three cities, bombing artists. So even back then, you could win on three cities peaceful, but the game did not overpunish wide play to the extent that it was really not completely suboptimal and you're just doing it for the fun of conquering cities. Like, you actually got benefit from doing that.
Yeah, I kind of see Civilization V in one corner of this consideration, and then a more recent example of this where bigger is better would be Civilization Revolution. For those who have played that, good luck just sitting in a corner and being peaceful. No. Well, unless you end the game after like 10, 15, 20 turns or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, Sid does say you can define victory however you want. The buzzing. I'm not sure it's just about tall versus wide. Isn't it also a catch-up mechanic for civs that are behind in expansion?
No.
Well, that's tough. If somebody's out of the game, they need to be out of the game, right? So, yeah. Like, I hate situations in a game where you cannot win. It's over. And that can happen in Civ, especially in Civ 4. If you're, like, on Deity and you get constrained to four cities and you don't do something about that, and that 15 to 20 city Deity I run away from you in tech, you're not going to catch them. You're not going to do it. You won't have the production to handle them at tech parity, and you're sure as heck not going to out-tech them to get a tech advantage. So you can just sit there and rot until you lose. Well, at that point, you should probably quit.
Exactly. But you lost.
Like, I feel like that lose condition needs to hit you a little sooner, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe if you want to play out a losing situation, you can, and then otherwise you just quit. In multiplayer, you concede, but it's ugly.
It's more the point of maybe that one's running away, but you and everybody else can use diplomacy to band together and crush it.
Maybe. Usually not in those situations in Civ 4. Usually not. Now, Civ 4 does have a really strong tech catch-up mechanic if you do get big, so that's something.
Oh.
And I think the games need that. Civ 5 kind of does with autocracy tech stealing, but it's not as strong as Civ 4's tech stealing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like rubber banding at all.
It's like one component rubber banding, though. Because, like, if you're talking about a big empire catching up in tech, that's different from somebody just being given stuff because they're
behind.
Like, you have the resources from conquering a bunch of cities that's allowing you to do this in the first place.
Yep. I mean, I also don't like snowball mechanics to bounce that out.
It's hard to get away from them, though.
Yeah.
Because you want some incentive to grow in the first place. And if you are, then you're going to have that much more power.
Yeah, but I'm talking more of, oh, well, I mass expanded to, say, 10 cities, took up all the space. Therefore, I can think of a snowball. It could be, I mass expanded up to 10 cities, but you sat back with a couple of cities and instead spent your resource production on units, and now you're wrecking. I didn't, you know. There's got to be some balance in there.
Yeah, or have those 10 cities, if you rush them out, take longer to get to the point where they're productive.
Or basically, if left alone, yes, you will eventually snowball, and that snowball will kill everybody. But if not left alone, it shouldn't be like, I popped out 10 cities and I'm able to defend them all with really easy units, versus somebody who, say, built up a couple cities with lots of infrastructure. And because those 10 cities shouldn't be quite as productive right off the mark.
The check and balance on the quantity with quality.
Yes.
Yeah. But it shouldn't be check and balance going, oh, you founded a fourth city. Guess what? Every city after this is going to make your teching and culture rate so unbearable that you'll never want to do it again.
Yeah, pretty much.
But don't worry. While you're thinking about that, we've been talking about the catch-up mechanics constantly. In Civilization VI, we will have the mustard mechanic. And then in Civilization XII, we will have the relish mechanic, and then the series is done.
No, when do you get the salt mechanic? Oh, right. Declare war on Dan. Okay.
Yeah, that's the salty one.
How is this news?
It works in all Civ games that are multiplayer.
Oh, no, I forgot, but now I remember.
Sid Meier is turning to be asked all the silly questions.
Again.
Yeah, again. Same ones he probably answered for Axicon and just, oh my gosh. That's interesting. He gave the budget figure for Civ 2 as being $500,000.
Yeah. It's probably no secret at this point.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out 19.
But yeah, times have changed.
Yeah. It would probably seem expensive
even
in the 90s.
But that,
right now, that's just like cheap.
Even if you scale that for the years, times have changed.
Yeah.
Let's see. According to just the first site I could come across, 1995, $500,000 American dollars is just under $790,000 American today.
Wow.
Based on an average rate of inflation of 2.2% a year.
That's a lot of inflation.
Yeah,
but still under a million, and Sid then coupled with that says we're up to multi-millions today, and he's talking about those AAA titles.
Yeah.
In this interview, talks about, you know, in the late 90s, you know, remember this game, like Pirates and Railroad Tycoon and Civilization and SimCity, games that have lived on and are seen as innovations in the industry today, and then Sid says Minecraft would also qualify.
Oh.
Sid, I don't know how we could love you more, but...
We do.
Yep.
I'm making the little heart thing with my fingers.
It's important to describe such a thing on an audio-only show.
Yes, exactly.
Designers these days tend to self-reference, says they make up games based on other games. They grew up playing games, so their frame of reference is other games. In the old days, it was the world. We got it from books and everywhere. Things from the real world that interested us became the raw material for games. Today, gamers a lot of times are making games based on the games that they like. It's a change of perspective, but there have been really innovative games done in every era. It's a great time to be a gamer. Oh, Sid, it's always a great time to be a gamer. It's a greater time to be a gamer than the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. I will agree with that.
I mean, some people have a little bit of rosy-colored glasses about that, you know, looking backwards at the stuff in the 90s, but we still have some of the stuff that has some of the fun and things now, and there's so many more things, and then you have this whole thing that the internet happened.
There's less of a stigma against gaming now, although there are still some, but there's much less than the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Now, you see, what we have now in the 2010s as opposed to the 1990s, as opposed to gamers versus non-gamers, it's this type of gamer versus this type of gamer.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have come so far.
People who buy AAA versus people who buy indie, people who are casual versus people that are hardcore, FPS people versus RPG people, strategy people versus everyone else.
Yeah. And you have weirdos like me that play almost all the genres. A couple.
Yeah, what do they do with us? I play multiple things too.
Yep. Me too. That's and that's a show.
I collectively refer to you as the squirrel gamers because squirrel!
Squirrel!
That doesn't seem to identify my tendencies very effectively.
Well, it does for me sometimes. Like, oh, it's a game, squirrel. Record this. Screw you, I'm playing it.
Yeah.
But this interview with Sid on GamesBeat continued the parent tradition, at least in the editing, of GamesBeat making a comment and Sid answering the comment. GamesBeat, you should put time travel in. Then you can go back and ruin somebody's game. I love Sid's thoughts. This was going to be a way of putting your save game in there. Time travel is just loading another save game.
Hey, yes. That's exactly it.
In one version of Civ, we kept track of how many times you reloaded because that was a technique for winning. You lost the battle, reload the save game.
Yep.
I would love to see some people's statistics on that.
But then the idea was that if you have a time machine, it's okay to reload that save game because you use the time machine. Mm-hmm. It's okay to use the time machine because you use the time machine.
Thank you, Seth. It's coming. It's such a chore. Like, I don't know how people enjoy it.
I know, but still.
Sid also says, I don't think we'll run out of ideas. We can go forward in time or backward in time or sideways in time, just for starters. Oh, what a tease.
Parallel worlds theory, huh? I like
mm-hmm.
it.
Forward, backward. No, it's better. He can go forward, he can go backward, he can go sideways, or other ways.
Mm.
Directions that haven't been invented yet.
Exactly. He knows. Sid knows.
I will hit you with negative momentum.
Why do I have sudden visions of playing Hokey Pokey when I was 4 years old now? You know, you say, put your left foot in, take it out. Okay.
Yeah, we don't go there.
Thank you.
Dan, we don't need to talk about when you were four. This is an ancient history cast. Hey.
That's right.
says Mackie's older than me.
Yep.
GameSpeed asks, what's happening in the next 25 years? Five more Civs, I guess? I don't know.
There was this other part where they were talking about strategy. He was saying, Civ came out, strategy was a dirty word. You didn't want your game to be called a strategy game. That's boring and slow. And GameSpeed person is like, nerdy. He's like, very nerdy.
Yeah, do you want to play a strategy game?
Ooh. Ew, nerd!
Nerdy.
Dirty nerdy.
Strategy is just nerd for foreplay.
In a sense, yes, that could be true.
And nobody says five more civs, I guess. I don't know. It didn't say PC Civ.
True.
Civilization Beyond Earth, Civilization 5, but then we have Civilization Revolution 2 Plus. We have Civilization Online. Civilization Revolution 2 Plus did come out for some markets last year, and Civilization Online actually launched in December. So within that five-year window, we were already up to four, if you also then include Civilization Beyond Earth. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility when you think about it.
Now, you missed the second two lines of what he said here. Five more civs in the next 25 years. He doesn't know. We were talking about that. It's really the community that will determine that. So how many more civs within the next 25 years? That's up to us. We can say
so
you have to produce one every you have to produce one every 5 years, or you get to produce one every 3 years, or 2 years, or I know, let's go Activision and milk that cow.
No, let's not go Activision and milk that cow. The five-year cycle they seem to be doing lately with this is about right.
Sufficient, probably.
You know, if we really wanted to be nerdy, we would have the seven-year cycle.
No.
No. No, Dan. Petition to change Dan's name to Mr. Spock.
No. That gives him too much credit.
Oh, that's true. Never mind.
Recorded for episode 264 with Dan Q, Makalua, the Mian team, Mad Jin, Bibor, and Eeg.
Oh, boy. Wrap up the troll factor. Civilization EDU, a quote-unquote bad idea, claims gaming critic.
They would like to have words with you, Mr. Gaming Critic.
Yeah, and what's actually kind of interesting is at certain times in the article, I'm wondering if he's really arguing that it's a good idea or a bad idea. It's good to acknowledge the side that you are not on. He does present that. Mm-hmm. Then at the same time, he starts making arguments, and I'm thinking, I'm sorry, which way are you going? But essentially, to distill this down, he thinks it's a bad idea for two reasons. One, Civilization, the gaming series, is a very Western, particularly American perspective on history, and promotes the Christian faith.
Okay.
And I could be making this case about Paradox, but I don't know about Civ.
Yeah.
Hello, did you catch the part where we could make any religion we wanted? It's not just Christianity.
By default, every map was
like
Hinduism and Buddhism. And so far, like, you'd carpet Buddhism and Hindu, like, every freaking game. But Judaism third at that. It's not very Christian.
Now, the author of this, Sam Suzuki, does say, it's impossible to critique the actual piece of edutainment as little beyond a general outline of its purpose has been revealed, quote-unquote. Yeah, but then his whole article is about, you know, doing, in fact, just that. He says, but Civ's well-known formula can, quote, only lead to concern over how the game systems will actually present history, unquote. Well, don't we have general concerns
that's
about
funny.
How Civ presents history regardless whether it's Civilization EDU or not? I mean, that's just inherent in the freaking game.
Every country you go to is going to tell the same part of history differently, depending on their biases.
He cites the linear process and historically untrue, quote-unquote, nature of the technology tree, that it's far too neat when reality was much more messy. Again, gameplay here, people, in part. And he also says, yet every development is true, it's perfect, and a step towards the end of the technology tree. And it's like, okay, well, part of me wanted to troll and be like, you know, there was this technology web and Civilization Beyond Earth. But more than that, and he goes back to the Western...
Imagine doesn't want to acknowledge that.
I know Imagine wasn't going to acknowledge it, so I did.
I'm acknowledging absolutely nothing in this article.
I'm not sure why we're giving it time of day, but, you know, I mean, unless you just want to troll people, that's fine.
Well, it's kind of one of those things, if you're going to present an argument, then present an argument. It's not the Civilization idea is a bad idea, and I wouldn't say the Civilization EDU is a good idea. It's Civilization EDU is, I don't even know if I want to say, it's a new take. It's a more focused take on Civilization, but what's really going to make this product, I mean, yes, there's certainly some implementation, but it's how it's going to be used in the classroom because it is a tool, and he acknowledges it as a tool. It is not a be-all and end-all. He says, an educational tool bears a weight that a game does not, and the classroom accuracy is required for any kind of real usefulness. And it's like, there's accuracy, and what do you mean by accuracy? What do you mean usefulness? Civilization is a lot about what if scenarios, what if this happened, what if that happened. There are inherent abstractions. Again, this is a game. This is not intended to be an historical simulator. It risks teaching students that science has always been a monolithic linear project, that battles are like chess, where pieces are cleanly wiped out by others, that everything is fundamentally reducible to a Western experience.
know what Civilization EDU seems to bring out, just like any Civilization title, is people claiming absolutes like this. And I would like to think that this person would like to engage in conversation. He links to his Twitter account, but guess what? His tweets are protected.
Yep.
Okay. So I point this out not just to criticize the article itself, but yes, to put out there the number one. Some people think that this is a bad idea, but at the same time, some people also think that this is a good idea. It's an idea. Part of the good and the bad is going to be the implementation by Glass Labs, who is doing Civilization EDU. But the big mark is, how is it going to be, is it going to be used in the classroom, number one? And if so, how is it going to be used? And that's going to come down to the human factor, not the game factor.
And also, it depends on what you're using this as a tool for. Like, I'm just reading the last bit of whininess about Civ not being accurate enough about history, and that Civ game is not meant to accurately reflect history.
No kidding. So
yes, but it's not like they said this was going to be a history class tool. They didn't actually say what they're using this Civ for. It could be a thought-building tool, problem-solving tool, all sorts of other potential brain activity-related things that could be used for that. No one has specifically said, hey, you know what? We're going to use this to explain history.
So did you know that rulers lived for thousands of years back in the day?
Come on.
After the Great Divide, however, time slowed down and people died more quickly.
I don't think that making civilization as a tool for learning history is good at all. I mean, yeah, I guess it is for like first grade.
Trying to garner interest at all, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, you know, like cool, goofy-looking leaders and Cleopatra and pyramids and, you know, like Chinese Great Wall and so on. But if you're going to point out a game where you can learn history, that would be, I don't know, Crusader Kings, you know, like, or Europa Universalis. More than this.
But even those don't fit history.
Yeah.
Pretty egregiously deviate from it.
Yeah. No, okay, but you can learn how the world flows, like interconnections, why certain civilizations went into conflict with others, and so on. I think Civ is just a game, you know, like, it's a cool game, but I don't think it's a history learning tool.
Yeah, and did they really say that they were teaching high school students about history? Really?
I don't know. It's like a really cool idea for small kids as an introduction to history and how fun can it be. And how, you know, technology has advanced through the ages and how civilizations grew but it's a game.
Yeah.
It's not a historical simulation of any kind.
No, if it's
exactly.
It's not being marketed as that. I mean, they're talking about that using it in high schools, but at the same time it's kind of like the guided tour with the game. If the response from the educator was, okay, here's Civilization EDU, we're presenting it, we're going to learn history. Now, learn history through the game, that's more on the educator than the game. That's not the game's fault. That's, okay, you see, we can do this in the game, and then you use that as a conversation point. Like, okay, we can do this in the game, why can we do this in the game? How does that relate to what actually happened? You kind of get a sense of, and like some people are also getting at, you're getting an interest in history. It's kind of a springboard.
I declare a holy war.
It's like, okay, this is how it was like in the game, now let's talk about what really happened. And there are scenarios and there are mods that try to be historically accurate, and you can have that within Civilization, or you can have that within any game. So I think, yes, that this game can be not just necessarily limited to high school students, although that seems to be the big push from Glass Labs, because they're talking about getting it into every American classroom next year, which, of course, is a whole other side conversation. But regardless even of whether we get into, regardless of age considerations, maturity, etc., it's the implementation. And part of that is the game, and the person acknowledges here, we actually don't know what the game looks like other than it's based off of Civilization V. Well, shoot, that's a very open-ended statement.
If you're using any game or anything to teach history, at least in my opinion, from my experience when I was in high school, the biggest problem was getting the context right. You know, like, why things happen, why things happened, getting a feeling, a sense of why things work the way they work. And I don't think Civilization in any shape or form is good for that. In that regard, Paradox games are much better, if they are applicable, but I guess not. That's the main problem of history, to understand the mechanisms why things happened, why the Civil War in the United States happened, really why, what were all the factors and all the different opinions and lifestyles and economic basis of the South and the economic basis of the North and intercontinental relations and all that stuff. having a game that provides you with a context where you can visibly see the context, I guess the game would be great for that. But Civilization doesn't offer that. It's a board game, in a sense, you know? Like, you have a civilization, you have the United States on the map from the start of the game, and it spreads through the whole continent before 1 AD. So it would have to be drastically changed for it to become a history teaching tool, in my opinion.
It's not that Civilization is education. It, as you say, it is an educational tool. And for the context, the educator needs to know their stuff. Just like with anything in the classroom, what is the purpose? What is the point of this? How am I communicating that to the students, and how do I know that the students actually get that from that game at the same time? That's ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah, it depends on what they're using it for. It's a tool, so they can either use it well or not.
Why is San Francisco called San Francisco and not St. Francis? That's the context I was referring to, and Civilization doesn't have this.
It's not trying to say this is a history lesson.
Yeah, okay, but they're using it for something, right?
Like I said, they could be using it for problem solving, for logistics planning, for different ways to think about things.
Indeed. And it doesn't necessarily mean that in an educational context that they even have to be historical. It doesn't necessarily have to be a quote-unquote history classroom. It could be, problem solving, some abstract
thinking. Practice your diplomatic skills.
Of the end of a point.
Might also be a bad choice on that one.
You need to know your students.
You certainly learned a thing or two.
I just know that many cities in the world would be much better off if their mayors played City Skylines or SimCity 4, you know, some weird stuff going on. But do you guys have some ideas on, like, your criticism, your comment on how Civilization could be made into an educational tool? I'm really interested in that.
I think I've said from my position generally, which is you have to root it in the educator. It's a tool. It's just like saying, hey, we're going to give you a digital projector. Or back in the day, we're going to give you an overhead projector. How are you going to use it? It's going to be, hey, kids, look at this overhead projector. Let's talk about the mechanics of the overhead projector. Well, how does that help us advance this English lesson or this history lesson or this math lesson? It's what is the purpose for that tool in the classroom? To say, look, cool, tool, let's play. Don't talk to me. I need 35 minutes to myself or whatever. You know, that it is actually purposeful and it's connected to both the curriculum, but it's also connected to problem solving, these learning skills and work habits that translate beyond the classroom. Hey, okay, to some degree you're going to learn stuff because, quote unquote, you have to learn it for the class. But you want to feel like after playing the game, wow, I understand, if not specifically these are the steps that I need to take, I have a better understanding of where I need to go and or who I need to talk to take these steps because I went through this exercise that included playing this game, whether it's Civilization EDU, it's just quote-unquote regular Civilization or some other game.
Yeah. It would even sort of work for an algorithms class, the high school level. Basis of algorithms is a series of steps with choices involved sometimes, and therefore try and teach them a strategy and get them to utilize that within the game and understanding that, you know, you can make changes here and there to modify your algorithm or even just the overall concept of planning, which I'm sure high school students don't really know that much about, stuff like that. There's some ways to utilize it. I mean, obviously, you have to see what they chop out or add in. From Civ 5 to this. On the face of it, it's just a game. Hell, you could use it for making kids learn not to completely ignore everything. You know, that whole instant gratification thing. Use it for making them learn that they're not always going to get what they want.
Teach them about the benefits and drawbacks of nuclear warfare.
And messing with India.
Right. This is why we don't mess with India, kids.
Yeah. I have a cool idea. What if the teacher told the kids that every time they don't do their homework, they have to skip a turn against other players? I think that would be a great tool to teach kids how not doing your job is going to be bad on the long run.
Oh, there's questions coming. Oh, man, that's a rabbit hole.
Recorded for episode 270 with Dan Q, Akalua, the Mian Team, Mad Jin, Canuck Soldier, and Zeldar.
So it's a group of Russian modders, and they started to make a game that they called Pre-Civilization. And they got a takedown request, specific legal term, from 2K, saying that they were infringing 2K's trademark on Civilization. Back up a little bit, say I am actually a patent lawyer, which means I'm an intellectual property lawyer. I graduated from the University of North Carolina. I work currently at Bold IP. So I do speak with a little bit of authority on this stuff. I do trademark law. I've never participated in litigation. But that said, all of this is legal opinion. None of this is legal advice. If you have a legal problem, go talk to an actual lawyer like me. But
that was an important addendum there, yes.
Yes, not necessarily me. And every situation is different. So the things that I say here, you cannot apply to your situation specifically. Generalities will be true for everybody, but every situation is a little different. And as well, I haven't done the amount of research that I would have done if these people were my client. They are not my client. I'm just talking about the situation. Okay, now that all that rigmarole is out of the way, isn't legality fun?
Air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, air quotes on that fun.
Air quotes. So the issue here is 2K does actually have a trademark registration for the word Civilization for computer games, which is interesting for a lot of reasons, because there are other people who use the term Civilization in their games. As pointed out by the Russian modders, you have Galactic Civilizations. And Galactic Civilizations is actually trademarked by its company as well.
Yep.
So
it's not an individual word that got trademarked there.
Right. It is not individual. Galactic Civilizations trademarked Galactic Civilizations. Now, 2K does actually have a trademark for the word just Civilization. They also have a trademark for Civilization 4, Civilization Beyond Earth, but they do have one for just the word Civilization. The way trademark law works, that doesn't mean that they can do anything with the word Civilization. It's applied directly to computer games. It's a little weird because the way their reading works, they got it from Avalon Hill, so they got that trademark. And Avalon Hill makes a board game, but the trademark expands to, I think it's procedures and materials to run board and electronic games. Which covers, of course, computer games, covers board games, probably covers a weird hybrid, like, battleship-like thing if they ever wanted to do that. But if somebody wanted to make, like, Civilization orange juice, theoretically, 2K could not stop them. So the trademark issue would be that these modders are making a game that is like Civilization, from the little bit that I saw of it, and the word Civilization is in the mark. I think the Russian modders could possibly win here, as they're adding the word pre to it. It's interesting because they probably have to go to court over it, or they would at least have to write something to Steam saying why they think they have a case. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act does pretty much make it necessary for Steam to take it down when they receive a takedown request from 2K. I think there is in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, they're supposed to have been given a opportunity to write something saying, this is not infringement, here's why, and there are certainly arguments you can make there that there's the word pre in front of it, and then they would talk about differences in the game because it does supposed to take place evidently before Civilization. That, of course, could lead to arguments that 2K might want to at some point make a game like this, and it's in the natural expansion of their market. They haven't done it, so that would be a hard argument for them to make, in my estimation.
So just to kind of go with that, just a couple of minor points. First off, yes, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, a piece of American legislation. This game was listed on the Steam store, Steam owned by Valve Corporation, which is based in the United States. And right. The other thing that goes with it is because of the infringement claim, simultaneously of that claim being filed, and then in turn, the developer behind Pre-Civilization, Claris Victoria, at the same time as they're being notified, it's been removed from the Steam store. This was on the 19th of November. And on the 24th of November, the company has renamed it Pre-Dynastic Egypt because of its focus on Egypt as part of its newest patch, relisted on the Steam store now. There have been a number of comments in reaction to this. One was, why don't you just forget about Steam altogether and say go on to good old games? To me, it's just kind of like a whack-a-mole. I could very well see, fine, we'll move over to good old games, and then 2K comes around and goes to good old games and says, hey, and then we repeat it all over again, except, of course, the fact that now they've renamed the game, and there's no Civilization in the title of their game at all. The two big things that I saw coming out of it was comparisons to the gameplay as well as the game itself, pointing out some of the major differences in terms of what was Pre-Civilization and, say, Civilization. But the one question I want to ask specifically to you, Daniel, and then I'm going to hand it over to Madjin because I know he's looking to jump in here. Some people have said, look, 2K has to do this to protect their trademark. They have to do it, otherwise they're going to lose it. If someone said that to you, Daniel, what is the response to that?
The response is that is actually true. You do have to protect your trademark. There's a legal defense if you are not protecting your trademark. It's latches. Someone else will say, look, you let them do it, so that means you're not going to defend it. Therefore, you don't have it anymore. Weeks can come in also and use it because you're letting these other people use it.
And to that point, there are 3 indie games on Steam that use the word Civilization.
Right. And the argument would be, how are they using it? And these are somewhat ridiculous legal arguments, but the thing I would make with Galactic Civilization is that it's a longer word. It's 2 words. There's a
space in between. Oh, I'm not even talking about Elsif.
Right. And that would be the response of somebody that's arguing for the other side. It's called Galsiv by the community. But yeah, these are the kind of arguments you would make in trademark law. These are the things you get into.
3 I'm talking about is Idle Civilization, Fall of Civilization, Lost Civilization.
Mm. Those are different. Are they different enough is a legal question. They're different more than pre-Civilization. Been an argument they could use. You don't lose it automatically. Someone has to come in and take you to court over it, and then you lose it.
Is that why perhaps Stardock was able to register Galactic Civilizations? Because they would say, look, we've got civilization in the title, even though it's plural, but because it's set in space, as opposed to something more historical, is that what might have been the basis for why they were able to go ahead and register that, even though 2K already had the registration and the precursor companies already had the trademark registration for Civilization?
I would have to look in specifically to the arguments that they may have made and if they had to make any, but those would be the if I was them and I was trying to get registered at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, those would be the kind of arguments I would make. The game is different. There's a second word. There's a space in between the two. Galactic implies other things than just civilization.
All right, so to pivot from your point then, the 3 indie titles that Madjin just identified, they also have other words in them other than just...
And that's the argument that 2K would make as well. We didn't think these were infringing because they have these other words. You are closer because you just have pre and a dash. But...
Russian developers made the argument that the word pre-civilization is a separate word from civilization, technically.
Right. And you can say that makes it a different English word. And they're probably never going to hear this, but there are probably a lot of law schools that would love to sic students on making these kind of arguments to Steam and 2K. I mean, these are the kind of things that a trademark, kind of like a pro bono group at a law school would love to do because it's great practice.
I didn't realize this was going on with games as well. This has been a serious problem with YouTube over the past few years, is you get even more absurd and frivolous claims than anything 2K has done. And I would say that 2K is probably in the wrong here, in my opinion, but it depends on the actual gameplay of...
I want to make it clear that since we're talking about the trademark, the gameplay is really almost not important.
Because I understand that, but if you just want to talk about the morals of the situation here, in my mind,
we're talking about legality. Legality and morals are 2 different things.
That's true. I wanted to comment on the morals of it.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure that you understand that.
You can make a case that if your laws are going substantially awry from your desire, it's worth talking about changing them. And the ability to just throw up claims on YouTube or throw up claims on Steam and get people's property taken down in a scenario where they're really not trying to steal what you've done, that comes off to me as pretty bad.
Trademark is not about stealing what someone else has done. Trademark is about protecting the reputation of the company. The idea is somebody would look at this and say, has the word civilization in it? Civilization is a well-known property. These people made this game. This is a civilization product. And they would be interested in it because there's such a thing as initial interest infringement. And they would pay attention to it because of the reputation that civilization has built up that 2K bought when they bought the company. You're all buying the reputation as well. they're not really taking anything physical or even intellectual from you, but they're riding on the coattails of your reputation, of the reputation of that the game is built up over time and the company is built up over time. Somebody that decided to make a product and use the word Coke in it. You know, you might look at that and you might think that it is related to the well-known Coke company. So,
or cocaine.
Or cocaine, yeah. If you, they're writing on how they sell it.
Well, I mean, Coke did have that in it at
and
one
Coke
point
in time.
And Coke
originally did have
cocaine. Yeah, it did, yep.
So it's important legally to separate copyright and trademark. Copyright is what you'd be worrying about if they were actually copying gameplay mechanics, but it's always questionable how whether those you can copyright or not, or actual art assets. The trademark is a very different thing, and it protects different things.
So this was a trademark claim.
This is a trademark claim as of now, yes. So the idea would be other people would think they made this game because it's so close to ours. And they weren't even trying to get it registered. They were just using it. It's definitely an aggressive thing that 2K did. And morally, you could say it's something they maybe should not have done, because looking at the mod, it would have been really hard for somebody to think it was 2K making it.
I think they're kind of reaching on this one.
Yes.
Well, okay, some other stuff to go with it. I actually don't think 2K is reaching on this particular one, because if you look at the other three games, like Idle Civ, Fall of Civ, blah, 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 one's an adventure game. So obviously it's not trying to be the Civilization style. And the other two are very, very different looking and very different gameplay.
Also not
trying to be that. I know it's not trademark related, but in the quest of is somebody infringing on the trademark, the copyright side popping up is at least a little bit of an extra push towards trademark infringement, even if it doesn't directly relate legally. Now, when it comes to this game, when it was called Pre-Civilization, I actually did go watch a video of it, somebody gameplaying it. It looks strikingly like Civ 5.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, so the Fog of War is the exact same. So all the gray clouds, the fog, a lot of the UI, yes, it got recolored, but you could almost pinpoint which expansion that it came from Civ 5. No, the gameplay is not the same, not even close. It is a turn-based game, but it's not like all hexes or squares or anything like that. The actual how you do things is quite different. But I would expect that 2K, because of that similarity in look and feel, that's why they went for the hammer on the trademark side.
Huh. It's interesting that you use that term look and feel, because that's an actual legal term in copyright circles. That one of the things you are comparing when you compare things for copyright infringement is the look and feel. Different circuits do that differently, of course, because we're America and no everybody does anything the same here. But that is one measure of copyright infringement.
Yeah.
And so you do think they're using a copyright argument as the basis for their trademark claim.
Yeah, which is what I found interesting. And you can say they're infringing our copyright when you ask Steam to take it down. So I wonder if they just thought it's easier to make a trademark argument, especially to a non-lawyer, because you could just say almost they're using our word for a computer game. And that's almost enough than to make a copyright argument, because copyright is much more complicated.
But, yeah, you'd have to look at the code and the art assets and all the other fun stuff.
Right, right. You'd have to make visual comparisons and these kind of things. So,
yeah.
And that's one thing they have to do is when you send these takedown requests, you have to give a legal explanation for why they are using your trademark.
Okay, Steam is better than YouTube then, because in YouTube, you don't.
Legally, YouTube is supposed to require that, according to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Clarice Victoria, they responded. And publicly, in addition to going directly to 2K, and in fact, as part of the video, these Russian developers actually showed most of, if not the complete contents, of the email that they received from 2K. But okay, now they've gone ahead and they've changed the name. So now that it's listed back on there, what happens now with 2K's infringement claim? Because it did happen in the past. Is it now up to 2K to decide whether or not they want to go ahead with this and try to seek some kind of damages, right? Because, I mean, that's if you're infringing
on it. They wouldn't get anything. They could, yes. But they didn't sell anything for this game. It would have to be they kind of might get, like, initial interest royalties. But a takedown request is just like somebody receiving something in the mail and saying, if you don't stop doing this, I will sue you.
So it's important to point out that the removal, of course, from the Steam store, it's not that 2K, in that exact moment, forced
Steam and turned Valve to take it down.
They said, this is our property under the Digital Millennium copyright. You should take it down legally. And then Steam complied. It was a request. It is not a court order or anything like that at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, these people could have fought it. And then that would have ended up in court.
Maybe. But if 2K had decided to pursue it, they could have responded to Steam and said, here's why we're not infringing it and how we're not. Then Steam could have believed them or not believed them, and then 2K would have had to, if Steam put it back up, 2K would have had to sue them and had to sue them individually, which would have been interesting since they're in Russia. But
we
hadn't really touched on the whole
American trademark law.
Yeah, we haven't really even touched on the whole international aspect of this, of which, of course, there is.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole point here is the fact that, as was already said, for 2K, it was easier to ding them on the trademark and force them to change the name and therefore stop writing on the coattails of Civilization. And since that was already done, 2K's job is basically done.
Yeah, since the name is changed, I think they're fine.
We can't turn back time. That we know of, yes.
Right.
But if you could, or for Claris Victoria or some other developer in the future, and they decide, okay, I want to call my game Pre-Civilization. I mean, Claris said, and that was part of their defense, like we went in, we didn't see that was any specific trademark, Pre-Civilization.
Right.
Even though they're like, you know what, it doesn't look like this is an issue, would it have been better, maybe not necessarily best, but would it have been better for them to apply for the trademark of Pre-Civilization themselves in advance of selling the game under that name and then see what happens to avoid what ends up happening here?
Yeah, that would have been a great idea. When you apply for the trademark, A, it takes a long time, and B, there are two different levels of trademark. You can apply for one and get it even before you start selling it. And that's one thing you can do. That is probably the best thing to do, because then 2K can come in and argue at the trademark office against it, or the trademark office can say it's too close and you can go back and forth. That's always the best way to do it, probably the cheapest way to do it, honestly.
Better
you are having
practice.
To deal with trademark lawyers then, so you'd be paying somebody like me to do that. And, you know, we don't work for breadcrumbs.
Better business practice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to put out a product, make sure you have your trademark ready for it. Otherwise, you put out a product with a new fancy name, and if you don't trademark that, then anybody can use it. It's
I mean, there are some, you get some rights based on where you're using it. Trademark, unlike patent, comes kind of about on its own. There's common law trademark. There's not common law patent. It's very, very weak, however.
There's first use, but even still, that's not going to survive very long. If you could have trademarked it and you chose not to, then...
You made a mistake.
Yeah.
The other thing they could have done is they could have gotten what's called a non-infringement opinion. That would have basically been a lawyer saying no. For these reasons, calling this Pre-Civilization does not infringe on any trademarks that are out currently. Sometimes you do that before you apply for a trademark at the trademark office. I mean, if they had come to me and asked, hey, we want to call our game Pre-Civilization, I would not have looked in the trademark registry just for Pre-Civilization. I would have come across Civilization and I would have said, this could be a problem. I would have looked for anything with Pre-Civ in it. Almost. You know, you look for things that are not just exactly the same, but close. And it's a hard call because it's a level of closeness. And especially since there's something in trademark law that's called dilution. It's something that protects famous brands. And you could say that in the computer game community, Civilization is a famous brand. I don't think 2K claimed dilution here from what I've seen, but they could have said you are diluting the power of our trademark, and since we're a famous brand, you can't do that.
You can't call nose-blowing things Kleenex.
Right. That's a little different because it's generic. Kleenex has probably become generic now since everybody uses it for different things.
I'm also thinking of Thermos, for example. It used to be a protectable trademark, but now it's generic.
Xerox is probably generic now.
Yeah, but even Kleenex, while it's generic in term of use in regular speech, there is only one Kleenex brand. No other company can come along and make the same thing and call itself Kleenex.
Since it's become such a generic term now, they could argue that it's a generic term and this is what the thing is called. People can use the word computer because we call all things computers. The idea there, the argument would be that Kleenex is what the thing is called, so everybody gets a right to use it.
Well, let's say for the sake of argument here, okay, that you go to the trademark office, pre-civilization trademark office says, nope, sorry, too bad. Is there a mechanism for appeal?
Oh, yeah, always. You write office actions, you appeal, you can eventually go up and do kind of a little, it's an administrative court case at the trademark office where you actually can argue in front of a group of trademark judges, administrative law judges, that this should be trademarked, it's not infringing, here's why. And that's when you get into a little more about the differences in the product, and you can talk about the differences in gameplay, which, yes, and Matt is correct, is putting a little bit of copyright in trademark. But since in trademark you're trying to say that you get protection for this type of product, you have to define what that type of product is. And do they have Civilization for all computer games? If they wanted to make a first-person shooter and call it Civilization, are they trademarked for that? Or is a first-person shooter different enough from the type of game that Civilization has been used for in the past that a consumer wouldn't say, oh, this has the Civilization name in it, Firaxis must be branching out to first-person shooters? Those would be the kind of questions that you would make. Now, depending on which lawyer you have, they may charge more for each time you want to do that. You have to pay the patent office a little bit more every time you want to do that. So,
and I know of the other three indie titles that Matt mentioned, Matt pointed out that one of them was like an action game, right? So,
right, yeah. So hopefully they trademark their name somehow. If not, they should contact me and do so.
Hashtag shameless plug.
Hashtag I want to boo.
Perhaps in conclusion to this very extensive topic, I guess another possible avenue would be kind of taking a page from Activision, even though Activision for the original Call to Power was called Civilization Call to Power, and they licensed that. So they could have gone and they could have approached 2K and said, can we license that from you? That would have also been no guarantee that 2K would have said yes. I mean, 2K probably first would have said, I'm sorry, who are you? But
exactly. And you would have had to pay 2K money, and you know, that you're making a even more expensive now to use your game. But and this could have, you know, depending on how cynical you want to be, they could have known exactly what they were doing, and we are talking about their game now, and other people are going to go look for it.
It's kind of an interesting thing, right? The fact that 2K raised this infringement claim, and then they went and publicized about it. People are now more aware of this title, now called Pre-Dynastic Egypt, than they were before, even as compared to the other indie titles. So they're probably going to be a financial windfall for Cloris Victoria here.
Yeah, yeah. So, or were they crazy, or were they crazy like a fox, you know? Because, yeah, we are now, people now know about this game when they wouldn't have before, and it's a crowded indie market now.
Yeah, you can't buy this kind of advertising for free.
Right.
That's really the only question on 2K side is, did they do this on purpose so that they get the attention and therefore more sales, at which point 2K could actually sue them for that?
Yeah, it would be harder.
It would be harder.
They knew this was going to happen, and therefore they're going to get the attention, and we deserve some of the money that they got from this attention. And how much is that going to be?
Wow.
That's what the discovery is for.
Yeah.
And discovery is basically like a colonoscopy.
Well,
yeah. And that would be, depending on how much they want to hurt these developers, yes, if they sue them for that, it would be very bad because discovery is expensive and long. I mean, he certainly think that people know more about this game because of what they did, and that is the kind of thing that trademark law is supposed to prevent.
One thing is certain that has come out of this, and that's the lawyers have benefited.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
They are the true winners in this scenario.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the patent lawyers that were making money off of the Samsung, the phone wars thing, they're the only people that won in that. I mean, the amount of money that was spent on those on lawyers, Lord.
It's like they were burning money.
Dan.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But I'm dumb.
Come on, if I didn't make that reference, someone else was going to. So it just seemed to fit that it would be me. You were thinking it.
All right. And nothing like arguing over a flat piece of glass.
Yeah.
I question your definition of flat. No kidding.
Exactly. What is flat? Define glass.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today.
In North America, 301-637-7659.
In Europe, 441-212-887659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Log on to the series' official website at
thepolycast.net.
Record dates assorted. 2016.
Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth sound clips copyright Take-Two Interactive.
Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.